Hi, I'm Mike Rosa, Senior Policy Advisor at the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and today I'm speaking with Chief Greg Zeibert as part of the BJA's Body-Worn Camera podcast series. Chief Zeibert is the Chief of Police in the Charter Township of Chocolat in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. He's been in law enforcement in the rural communities in Marquette County, Michigan, for over 35 years. As the Chief in Chocolat Township, he instituted the use of body-worn cameras for his officers in 2008, often wearing one himself. Chief Zeibert, thank you for speaking with me today. To start, can you discuss the challenges you encountered when implementing body-worn cameras in a rural community?
Sure. Mike, Chocolat Township is a rural community in the Upper Peninsula. We describe it as a bedroom community of Marquette, Michigan, which is the largest city in the Upper Peninsula, about 25,000. Our population is about 7,000 people, and it's along the shores of Lake Superior. It's kind of unique for a township in the Upper Peninsula to actually have a police department. And I think because of the lakeshore, we have the bigger homes, and they're able to afford, they have the taxes to pay for a police department. So we, one of the things in the township that we have is a casino. And in the state of Michigan, the casinos are required to give, donate 2% of the proceeds that they make to the local municipality. So we're fortunate enough to get a quarterly check, which helped pay for this specific body camera program that I instituted, 7-8 years ago.
So that's some of the funding. So when you were creating your program, what other resources did you use, say, research and develop and other funds for this effort?
You know, we really didn't. We really didn't have many challenges. It was so new. And, we have to make up a wish list of what we would like to purchase for our department. I was going through different police magazines, and I saw these body-worn mics. I thought, every once in a while we get these allegations of officer misconduct and that type of thing. And I thought, what better way to fight these things to start video recording? So I purchased two or three of them. I got the okay from the township board, and I purchased them and started with that, trial and error. And we really haven't had that many challenges.
So the wish list is always useful to have in your pocket when the funding is available. So really, you developed your policy after implementation. Which groups did you work with when you were developing your body-worn camera policy?
Well, we really didn't have a policy for the first two or three years. It was we used it pretty much any time we had contact with the public. After a few years, we're speaking with our risk managers, the insurance companies, and that type of thing, and they recommended that we adopt some type of policy, and we worked with them on that. In fact, they were so impressed over the, especially over the last three or four years, that they now fund half of the purchase of any cameras that our department buys.
That's great. The again, another funding source, always important to find. Once you started your policy development, how long would you say it took to fully develop your policy?
I would say we worked with them, and they were, it was trial and error checking out. I would say probably over a year period, and that was after the probably third or fourth year that we were had been using them already.
Yeah, inclusion is always a good one. So now that you're at this point, you've developed your policy and you've been implemented for a long time, you're certainly a good example. What advice would you give to other rural communities considering the implementation of a body-worn camera program?
Well, I would say go for it. I'll tell you, as far as the problems of officer misconduct or any that type of thing, it took care of the problem. When I had the people come in, I invited them in to come watched the video. First of all, they were taken back that there was a video. We are one of the states, we don't require, only one party has to know that the recording is being activated. So we didn't even let them know that they were being recorded, and they were astonished when they found out that we had a video of the traffic stop or the different proceedings. But I would say, go for it, only because it makes a good police officer better. If you know you're being video recorded, you're not going to do stupid things. And if that person, and we do let them know now that they're being video recorded because it's in the news so much, but if they know they're being video recorded, they're quite often not going to do the stupid things that they would have.
Good lessons learned. Earlier this year, you participated in BJA's expert panel on body-worn cameras, where there were representatives from small, medium, and large law enforcement agencies. What was your biggest takeaway from the event?
I think something that we've really never had to deal with, but it really stood out, was the confidentiality. Not until the last two or so years did we actually start getting FOIA, or Freedom of Information Request, for the recordings. And we really have no way of censoring the recordings, so it's very important not to give out any, specific material on juveniles, CSC complaints, confidential informants, victims, that type of thing. So I think the one thing it really made me aware of was confidentiality, just who we give these different recordings out to and why.
So if you were able, on that note, if you were able to implement your body-worn camera program from scratch, based on what you've learned, how would you have done it differently? What changes would you have made?
Well, I think for someone starting out, I would say make sure that you get a good policy right off the bat. Make sure that the people are recording any contact with the people, be it a traffic stop or an interview. And the other thing that we really didn't do, and we are now, is, of course, saving all the different recordings and set up a schedule, how long you're going to save them, and some things you'll save forever. So I think probably setting up that policy and procedure right away.
Great. Thank you, Chief Seibert. We're grateful you could speak with us today to share your knowledge on BWC programs. We encourage law enforcement, justice, and public safety leaders whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn camera programs to visit the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. This toolkit offers a variety of resources that agencies can use to help with the adoption and use for community outreach, engagement, policy development, data collection, officer training, and educational purposes. We also encourage listeners to share and promote these resources with your colleagues and staff. Lastly, all of these resources, and especially the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit, have been designed as a national resource, as your resource. Please submit your ideas for new content through the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage, or email askbwc@usdoj.gov. Thank you, Chief Seibert. Appreciate your time. This is Mike Rosa at the Bureau of Justice Assistance signing off. Thanks to our listeners for joining us today. Have a good day.